Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And as we honor moms and as we think about the unique role that God has given to mothers, there are some spiritual truths that we can apply to our own lives. And that's all of us, whether we are moms or non-moms. And today I want to look at four words that are associated with mothers. We may relate them to mothers, but yet we can also relate them to us as believers as well. And the four words, the first word is the word pain. Now, before you moms grab your purses and throw them at me, no, I'm not saying you are a pain. I'm saying that in the process of becoming a mother, there was pain involved in that. That day when your child was birthed and came into this world and you received the title mother, there was pain that surrounded that time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, some of you may have had some intense pain, others maybe not so much pain. Even in our day of epidurals and C-sections and a lot of things that are out there to alleviate pain, I'm sure all of you who are mothers have experienced a degree of pain when you gave birth. But after the pain, what was the result? The result was life, wasn't it? It was a child. It was your child. It was a gift of God that was given to you. Jesus speaks of this temporary pain in John 16:21. He says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world." And here Jesus is using that whole labor pain illustration to teach his disciples, really to prepare them for what was about to happen. Jesus would be going to the cross and then he would be buried. And the disciples would experience this temporary pain and sorrow and anguish. And so he relates that birthing process, the labor process, to them to teach them a lesson. And though it's an illustration, the truth remains. After the birth comes, a mother will say, "Whew, it was worth it. It was worth it." Not that a mother totally forgets the pain that she endured, but when she thinks about the pain that she went through, and then when she compares that to this little bundle of joy that she holds in her arms, the two simply do not compare. The joy far outweighs the pain. And I'm sure, as many of you know, that pain does not end after the child is born. Maybe in the physical sense it does, but many of you moms still experience sorrow and heartache and anguish and grief as your children grow up. But yet by God's grace, he also allows many more moments of joy as well, doesn't he, in your life? Well, as believers in Christ, what does pain have to do with us? If you've been here the past few months, as we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11, we've noticed that pain has a lot to do with those who are believers in Christ, doesn't it? Pain comes with the territory. When we associate our lives with Christ, we also have pain that often comes in. Hebrews 11, which speaks of those with true, genuine faith, at the end of Hebrews 11, the Bible says this: some were tortured, some faced jeers and flogging. Some were put in chains, some in prison, some were stoned, some were sawed in two, others put to death by the sword. These people of faith were destitute, they were persecuted, and they were mistreated. What nice thoughts on Mother's Day. Isn't that nice to think about all that kind of stuff? But the reality of pain is there. It is biblical, and the reality of pain needs to be taught. The reality of pain in the biblical sense is this: pain is temporary. And we must keep that in mind as believers in Christ. Just like those labor pains for the mother are temporary, they pass and then life comes, so too, as believers in Christ, our pain is temporary, but one day we will possess eternal life, everlasting life with Christ, and our pain will be no more. That's what the Word of God says, right? One day there will be no more pain or death or mourning. That old order of things will be passed away, and things will become new in the kingdom of God. And as believers, I think many of us misunderstand pain and the role of pain. Many of us may try to avoid pain at any cost, even if that means disobedience. Many of us may allow pain to destroy our walk with Christ, rather than what God desires is that he use pain to deepen our walk with Christ. Paul speaks of some profound words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. He says, "To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul understood that God uses pain to deepen our dependence on him, to deepen our relationship with him. And though it's not easy, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, allow yourself to go deeper with God when he allows those hard things, those painful things in your life. So truth number one is this: pain is not all bad, because out of pain comes life. And it was through Christ's pain that you and I have eternal life. His pain was our gain, wasn't it? We have eternal life because of the pain and the suffering of Almighty Christ. The second word that we want to look at today is the word comfort. And as a general rule, the scriptures teach us that mothers tend to comfort their children. Isaiah 66:13. God says to his people, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Thessalonians and he talks about his relationship that he had with them, he says this: "We were gentle among you, like a mother who was caring or nursing for her little children." And we see that there is this quality of gentleness and nurturing and comforting that takes place in the mother. And that's not to say that those of you who are dads cannot be comforting and cannot be gentle. But as a generality, mothers tend to be a little stronger in that area, don't they? When you see moms holding their child, they have a gentleness about them, don't they? You see them, they're just very, very, very soft and tend to be very gentle with them. But dads, we can't wait to do what, huh? Woo, right, come on. Yeah. Can't wait to toss them up and do one of these, right? Right, Dennis used to do this all the time, right? Hey, look, mom, one hand, right? Moms just tend to be more gentle. It's a neat little thing. It comes with its own bottle. That's pretty good. But not just gentle in touch, but also gentle in speech as well. Dads, we tend to be more stronger with our words. We tend to be more of an exhorter. Moms may have a little bit more compassion. They may speak softer words. And that's not to say that dads shouldn't have compassion and speak gently. That's not to say that moms shouldn't speak strongly and say the exhorting thing. But again, generally speaking, dads and moms are designed differently, and when they work the way God intended, it's a beautiful thing. There's balance within the mother-father relationship. And really, when we look at God, we see God has in his nature really both of those extremes, doesn't he? God is an exhorter. God says to you and I, this is the way it is. I want you to walk in this way. Buck up, soldier, right? He says that. But yet he also says to us this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. God is a God of compassion as well. When we think of Christ, when Christ called his disciples, what did he say? Drop your stuff and come follow me. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He wanted them to toe the line. But yet, Jesus is also that tender, gentle shepherd that Isaiah speaks about who carries those lambs close to his heart. There is a deep, deep compassion, gentleness, and tenderness in the heart of God. And so all of these qualities really are found in God himself. It's not like mothers are better than fathers or fathers are better than mothers. When they're displayed the way God wants them to be, it's a beautiful thing in the eyes of God. Well, as believers, both male and female, we are to be those who comfort one another. Listen to the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul writes and says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. There is a continual supply of comfort that comes from God to his people. And God desires that we not store up all this comfort for a rainy day, but that we pour it out into the lives of others, that we be channels of comfort, channels of grace. When it comes to comfort, let me ask you, would you say you're more like a pond or more like a river? A pond that has no outlet, that's always looking for others to fill it so that it can be the biggest pond around? Or are you like a river that simply goes from one body of water to another? It simply feeds off the comfort of God and pours it out into the lives of other people. You're just a channel of comfort. God desires that his people be channels of grace and not pools of gripe. A third word is sacrifice. And from the get-go, moms sacrifice, don't they? A mother, her life is often a continual offering of sacrifice. How do they sacrifice? One way that sticks out to me is sleep. They sacrifice sleep, especially those first few months when you bring that baby home, right? And you're up half the night. And young guys, I got some great advice for you. When you get married, encourage your wife to nurse the baby instead of the bottle thing. Because then, you know what, when they get up in the middle of the night, you got to say, sorry, and I'm not equipped. I can't do it. No, just kidding. You do what the Lord leads you to do. I just know in my case, it has been very beneficial. I have gotten a lot more sleep than Helen has throughout our child-rearing days. And also, she sleeps closer to the door. That's another good thing, too. You can. But anyway, she's a good woman. But a mother sacrifices a lot for her children. I think, how about financially? How many mothers might like to go out and look like that great worldly woman who may have the beautiful necklace and this and that, and they forego that, they sacrifice that, so that they can take care of the needs of their children. And a mother who loves her children will sacrifice. She will forego those things, those selfish things, and make sure that the needs of her children are met. A vivid memory I have of my mom growing up is a pair of pants that she had. And she had a safety pin that held the pants together up there, where the button was, or there was supposed to be a button or a snap or something like that. And nowadays it might be a fashion statement, right? I mean, all these piercings and all, kids would probably like putting a safety pin there. But whenever I think about that, and my sisters and I, we'll make joke, we'll kind of chuckle about it. But on a serious note, whenever I think about those pants, you know, it's sacrifice that comes to my mind. Because I knew that my mom forego, she did without a new pair of pants so that we might have. I knew it was sacrifice that motivated that safety pin that held those pants together. And closely tied to sacrifice is the word service. And oftentimes they're intertwined. A mom's life is filled with sacrificial service to her family. And whether it's changing diapers, making meals, doing laundry, running the kids here or there, whatever it may be, children are blessed when their mothers serve them. And how many of you kids out there can say, thank you, Mom, for serving me, right? Thank you for doing that laundry, right, at the last minute when I should have told her 2 days ago. No, but there are a plethora of ways in which mothers sacrifice for their kids. And as we think of sacrifice and service, it ought to make us immediately think of who? Christ. Right? As believers, it ought to make us think of Christ. Christ laid down his life. He offered up his life as a sacrifice for us. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He gave himself up for us. And not only is his love demonstrated by his sacrifice or by the cross, but also in the way he lived his life. Because when you look at the life of Christ, he lived a life of service. He served people. He served others. And we see this so beautifully on the night before his crucifixion in John chapter 13, where Jesus pours water into a basin and he gets down on his knees and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. These very guys who would deny him, who would betray him, who would all scatter and flee from him when he needed them most, he would serve them out of humility. And as believers, if we're to live lives of sacrifice and service, we must have the very same mindset, the same attitude as Christ Jesus himself. We must say that there is nothing beneath me. Nothing beneath me. Let me ask you, is God asking you to serve him in some way? But you're saying, oh no, God, that's beneath me. God, I want something more glamorous, something more big. Well, I'll get praised from men, the stuff that brings me glory. God, let others handle the trivial, the menial stuff. I shouldn't have to stoop that low anymore, God. After all, haven't I climbed? Haven't I matured as a believer? Well, when we think like that, you know what we do? We bring the worldly mindset into our Christianity. The worldly mindset of the corporate ladder. You know what that is, right? You climb the corporate ladder. You go from A to B to C to D. If you're at D, you would never do A, B, or C ever again, right? Because you've arrived. Sometimes as believers, we can have that mentality. God, I'm not gonna serve. Why should I have to serve you in that way? It's too menial. Remember Christ, who got down, who did a dirty deed, who washed the disciples' feet. There was nothing beneath him, and there ought to be nothing beneath us either. Why is that? Because every act of service that is done to the glory of Christ is glorious in the eyes of God. And we do it for God's glory. Let me ask you, are you a servant of Christ? Is your life invested in serving the Master, your Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice your glory for the glory of Christ? Remember this, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord God Almighty, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible says he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And God calls us to serve in the same manner as Christ. Our fourth word we want to look at today is the word love. And there are a lot of confusing messages today about that word love and what love really means. A story is told of a 60-year-old mother who lived in Mount Shasta, California. And she had a son who worked for the United States Forest Service as a firefighter. And he was a seasonal firefighter. He received a base pay, but whenever he was out fighting fires, he got extra pay. So this mom wanted to help out her son a little bit. And investigators tell us that this mother was responsible for starting 5 brush fires along a Northern California highway just to help her son out a little bit. I mean, she thought in her mind she was loving her son. But yet this mother obviously didn't understand the true definition of love. The Bible says that love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, does not rejoice in falsehood, but it delights in the truth. True love is not rooted in deception or dishonesty, but it is rooted in truth. The Bible defines love for us in that famous passage, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. The Word of God says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Let me ask you, when you hear that definition of love, how many of you may think about your mother, or maybe a grandmother, or maybe another mother that impacted your life when you hear that definition of love? When you think about the mom who was patient, when you drifted and you did your own thing, that mother was long-suffering with you. That mother who, though you may have spoken out in disrespect and not always treated her with the love that she ought to have, she still responded with kindness to you. That mother who was not self-seeking, it was not all about her, but she was so consumed with you and your needs and what you were and who you were. The mother who didn't keep a tally of all your sins, who didn't bring up what you did 2 days ago and throw it in your face. The mother that protected you, the mother that persevered with you, the mother that was with you through thick and thin, who stuck by you no matter what. Is that what you think about? And you know what? Even the best mom in the world can never truly live out perfectly all that is said in 1 Corinthians 13. No way, impossible. But yet, God Almighty is perfectly living out. He is love, right? The Bible says God is love. That definition of love is perfectly found in God Himself. God's love is not like the world's love that tends to be this warm, fuzzy, emotional feeling that is fickle, that is just based upon how it is treated. If you treat me really nice, boy, I really love you. The love of God is not like that at all. It is a deep, committed, unwavering, unchanging, unconditional love. That's the love of God. What does this mean for us as believers? It means this, that we who are recipients of God's love, because we have received this love, we are to live a life of love. We are to be that channel of love to pour out His love to those around us. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and as a sacrifice to God. The plain truth is this, there is no substitute for love. As believers in Christ, there is no substitute. And if you find yourself perhaps struggling to love other people, then perhaps making or loving others is just not a top priority in your life. Maybe it is a top priority, but maybe you're just not loving the way God wants you to. Perhaps you're relying upon your own power to love others or your own strength. Perhaps you're loving others according to your rules rather than the rules that we find in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13. That is the rule book for how to love and where to demonstrate the love of Christ to those around us. Another important truth is this. There's a great connection between love and joy. The Bible says as we abide in Christ, as we abide in Him and He abides in us, as His love abides in us and we are obedient to His commands, He says our joy will be complete. Are you lacking joy today? One reason maybe, you know what, maybe you're just not loving others the way God commands us to in His Word. Again, the most important commandment is to love God with everything we have, and after that is to love others with His unconditional love. Well, as we honor our moms today, I know that each one of us are probably at a different place in our relationship with our moms. As Dennis shared, I know that many of your mothers are not here with you. They've passed away, and so this day, I'm sure, is kind of a bittersweet day. There's a sadness that must come into your heart when you think about honoring your mother and she's no longer with you. And I pray that though there may be a sadness in your heart, that you will remember the joy, hopefully, that you had with your mom, the way in which she impacted your life, and give thanks to God for those days that you had with your mother. For others, maybe your mother is alive, but she's many miles away. And maybe instead of getting together and hugging and sharing a meal, you have to pick up the old phone and tell her you love her over the phone. If that's you today, then be thankful that you have the opportunity to still tell your mother that you love her. It's important that you do that. For others, maybe your mom is close by, but maybe your relationship is distant. Maybe something has happened. Maybe there's a strain in that relationship. And Diane shared today the beautiful account of just being reconciled with her mom. And I don't know if you're there today, but if you're there, then perhaps God is saying to you today, I just want you to do this. I want you to be a channel of my love and grace. You know what? Forget all the past. Just today, demonstrate my love. Pour out my love. Let your mother know. Let her see a glimpse of my love today. And for others, maybe your mom is with you and you're going to get to spend the day with her. If you do, praise God that you can do that. Enjoy the moments that you have with your mom. And no matter where you may be at today, may you remember commandment number 5, which is to honor your father and your mother. Honor your mom today. As we close today, I just want to go back to those 4 words that help us when we think of a mother. Those words: pain, comfort, sacrifice, and love. And as you think of those 4 words, I pray that it would drive you to think about the cross of Christ, because it was the pain of Christ that brought us comfort and forgiveness. It was the sacrifice of Christ that opened our eyes so that we would truly understand what God's love is really all about. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have transgressed the law of God. We are all lawbreakers. And I guarantee you that every one of us here have broken commandment number 5. All of us, whether we were 3 or 4 or 6 or 10 or 15, we've all not honored our mom the way we should have. Either we talked back or we disobeyed. We broke God's law. And because of that, we stand guilty, we stand condemned, and we stand ready for His punishment. The whole reason for the cross of Christ was that He Himself might take our punishment. He Himself might bore our punishment on the cross so that all of our sins Every commandment we've broken, whether it's dishonoring our parents or not honoring God or lying or stealing, you name the law that you've broken. The whole reason for the cross is that Christ himself might absorb our punishment that we deserve. And when you are broken over that truth, not just that you've sinned against your mom, but that you've sinned against God Almighty, his command. When you're broken over sinning against God, and you are repentant over that, when you turn from your sin and to Christ, and you accept the sacrifice of Christ, you know what God does? He washes the slate clean. He makes you alive in him. You're forgiven and made whole. Have you trusted in the sacrifice of Christ? Do you know that you're forgiven and totally cleansed, that he himself bore your sins on the cross? And if you haven't, do so right now. Open up your heart to God. Beg for his mercy. Know that you are a sinner and you need his forgiveness. Cry out to him today. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your Son who died upon the cross so that we might understand the depth of your love and your forgiveness. And God, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. And Father, I pray that each and every person here today would truly know you in their heart and in their soul, that they would walk out of here today knowing that they've been forgiven by Christ and that they can rejoice all their days because of that truth. God, today we thank you for our moms. We thank you for those dear ladies in our lives who maybe weren't even our mothers, but yet they had an impact on us. Lord, I pray that you would bless them today. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to honor our moms in a way that glorifies you. And Lord, help us always to remember that you are love. And Lord, help us to live a life of love. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, amen.